Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus, and I cannot find my keys.
And I'm Aaron Flores.
Oh, thanks.
And I've got my keys right here on my belt. This is not going to help you at all.
That's all right.
Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irrelevant conversations. Irreverent conversations about the...
Totally
we're here doing a show about a thing with people and stuff. And we enjoy the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains, transit, and simpler living. And today, what are we talking about today, Mr. Dittus?
That's a good question.
We don't know what we're talking about,
but we're here in the room with David Robinson.
Hi.
We're just going to play Trivial Pursuit.
That sounds like a plan. We should get a box of Trivial Pursuit, just keep it here in the studio as like a regular thing.
Goodwill's not very far from
that's
here.
That's true. Yeah.
There's always at least two or three sets.
Make sure you get the 1999 movies edition.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll rock that one.
I will.
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. It's like every other. True. Like, who's the actor that...
Jeff Goldblum.
Whatever. Yeah,
it's
Jeff
yeah,
Goldblum.
Yeah. David, welcome back.
Thank you.
You are now a return guest. It is good to have you on the show again.
Well, thanks for having me.
And the nice thing is, like, I know if we have you in, we don't necessarily need to plan anything to talk about because we will talk about entertaining things regardless.
Yeah, just make dumb jokes and drink beer.
That's the idea. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, we have a few bottles. We should probably pop those open.
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron, what do you have? Oh, you. It's a long reach for you from behind the desk.
Oh, look at that.
But you did it.
I made it. I've...
Wait
for it. We've already been talking about this. It's like, now it feels forced to have to say Lionheart kombucha.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you said it anyways.
Okay.
It works out pretty well. Brock, I have your keys.
You do?
I do. You handed them to me a while back, and I figured wait till we're on the air to open them.
Right.
I'm drinking the Stickman Brewing Company F-Bomb.
Yes, F-Bomb, which I can only assume...
Oh, nice.
That might be the best audio we've ever had
of
a bottle opening.
Soundbite?
Yeah, no kidding. Do our best.
Fresh from Lake Oswego.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I was thinking maybe they call it the F-bomb because it's from Lake Oswego and they can't stomach the real word.
Yeah, I mean.
Perhaps.
It's there is that beer from Germany, though, the fucking hell.
Oh, right.
Which is actually somehow a benign thing in some weird facet of German.
Well, because isn't there a town called fucking Austria?
There is. It's fucking Austria, and hell is a type of ale or some
right,
shit.
Right, right, right.
So
yeah.
It's the some ale from fucking.
Right.
When
I was in Germany, I remember I saw Fisher's Hell, which
just,
it had a picture of his face on the front, and apparently his hell was to drink this beer. That was my assumption. So I enjoyed that.
If your hell is beer, then you're, I mean...
That's not so bad, right?
It's all right. Well, I'll let that slide, yeah.
And it wasn't a terrible beer. Like, I was very satisfied with that beer.
It was a satisfying beverage.
So, yeah. You were riding in Lake Oswego, you mentioned.
Yeah, I went on Saturday Saturday. I just went actually to finish the loop that I had planned out for Thanksgiving that I didn't actually end up wrapping up. Went around to Lake Oswego, then down to Oregon City and came back up the trolley trail.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice.
It's... I mean, a lot of it's on 43 or whatever, so traffic and shit. But other than that, like, the Lake Oswego section is great. There's, you know, nice roads and the Freds wave back.
Right. You were saying the people that are dressed in Lycra are friendly folk.
If nothing else, you know, they wave back and, it's they're not – they were all going the other direction, so that might have helped. You know,
okay,
I
right.
I was going the alternate – the counterclockwise.
Like, but. I'm not a threat to you. I'm not racing with you.
Right. I'm on an aluminum bike. It's okay. You can go take your plastic and go that way. It'll be fine.
Right, right. Well, I wonder – it's I think I was theorizing that perhaps for anyone who's not from the Portland, Oregon area, Lake Oswego is
– the gentry.
Yes.
The gentry. That's a good way of putting it.
It's a landed estate south of Portland. It's a place where many people go when they want to be close to the big city, but they don't want to be bothered by the big city.
Right.
So,
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, that is.
I hope it's a non-controversial way to put it.
I don't think they're listening.
Well, I would be interested to know if anyone we know,
if you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if you are listening and you are in a Lake Oswego. Yes. Oh, right, right. Hang on.
I'll wait for it.
listeners in Lake Oswego, tell us that you were there. That's all I have.
Tell us you're in Lake Oswego.
Tell us you exist.
Right, right. Because I forget the fellow's name that we rode with last weekend, because he was the pizza manager in Lake Oswego for a while.
Jared, maybe.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He was the guy who came along on the Thanksgiving ride.
Yeah. So. Didn't live there, but works there.
Yeah. So. Or something. Yeah. 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 He's, I think, Clackamas.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But we don't know that he listens. I don't think he does. So
we can,
it's all good.
We can send him a link.
We can change that.
Listen now.
All we want is for our voices to be streamed into someone's ears while they are in Lake Oswego.
Invite us into your home.
The best part about Lake Oswego is the police blotter.
That sounds highly entertaining.
Yeah, and I forget where. I want to say it was local radio station KPAM, 860 AM.
I am not.
Or is it AM 860?
AM still exists?
Just barely.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on like the same number of legs as FM.
Fair enough.
So not a competent number of legs, but still standing.
Hopping.
Yeah. Hobbling through the airwaves. So I believe they had, it was the Bob Miller Show in the morning. I used to listen to this way back in the day. And it turns out that they would do this segment called the Lake Oswego Police Blotter, where they would take, and I believe a book was made of the various things that Lake Oswego police have responded to. And a lot of it was like...
Runaway chickens?
Like woodland creatures.
Okay, yeah.
Bumping around in someone's basement.
Like that Onion video, some fucking bullshit happening somewhere.
something like that, yes. that's a thing that I remember from back in the day.
Is it called No Call Is Too Small?
I think so.
Okay.
Did you find it?
There's a piece on OPB about it. And
was it Think Out Loud?
Last month, the Lake Oswego Review published No Call Too Small, a best of that showcases editors' picks from the paper's weekly police call roundup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
that was way back in August of this year.
That's like ancient history at this point. Yeah. That's back when there was still sunshine in the state of Oregon.
I don't even know what that is anymore.
But I'm kidding, because I just saw sunshine this last weekend.
It was really blue. It was 30 degrees.
It was great.
It was, meh.
Yeah. So I did two big rides that I'm excited about.
Nice.
Adele and I both did them together, and we didn't expect to both do them together, but we ended up doing them together. So
where'd you go?
Friday, went to Malala.
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 It's a fun word to say.
Yeah. obligatory question here. How much Lala?
Mo.
Yes. So we went down through Clackamas County up to Redland, which is kind of like in the hills above Oregon City and behind.
Is that down by Silver Lake?
No. Okay. It's like right here in Clackamas County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was just a day ride from Portland.
There you go.
But we went down through Redland, which is kind of like the outskirts of it's like as far. There's that fly. It's as far as you can go through Clackamas County. And
this fly is just going to ruin everything.
There's two of them. Damn it.
It's totally going to derail the entire conversation.
N plus one, man, on flies. It's the...
We need to lay a trap. What's the...
Like fly paper?
Or vinegar? Is that how you catch? Or more with honey? I forget. Anyways, we should...
I thought that was just like a saying, like, you know, stop being such an a-hole.
Right. Which is...
I mean, maybe we can actually test that. Put out a jar of honey and a jar of vinegar and
see which one you get.
Actual scientific evidence brought to you by the Sprocket Podcast.
Turns out I'm still an asshole.
Well, I mean, all of us. I mean, that's a given. But
there's a great road called Ridge Road that goes through like a tree farm and some privately held forest land.
Nice.
And nice climbs, beautiful crisp air when we were out there.
Not too much traffic.
Not too much traffic, although we did see a creepy looking truck. That looked a little bit like the Jeepers Creepers van from the movie.
Oh.
Back in like 2003 or whatever.
Which, by the way, was an awful movie. But that truck.
It was, but it was
that
freaky.
That truck was the scariest thing from the entire movie.
No kidding.
If you saw the Mystery Machine go by like 10 minutes later, would that have made you feel better or worse?
I think it would have been. I'm questioning my tether to reality at that point.
How long have I been riding?
Yeah.
I would have felt better because then I would have known like whoever was behind that van is going to be unmasked. masked pretty soon.
Right.
It was just a mask. It's fine.
Right. If it wasn't for those meddling kids. But
like, okay, it's not a supernatural phenomenon.
Right, right.
This guy has no real powers.
He's not going to wear my face as a mask later.
Well, you hope that's not what his mask is made of.
Yeah. But it turns out Clackamas County has some great places to ride through. We had leftover Thanksgiving dinner from when my family came down. You know, there's tons of food left over. It turns out if you host Thanksgiving at your house,
you get
to keep the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had Thanksgiving dinner on the banks of the Malala River.
Nice.
And then we rode into Malala and went to The Spot Again, I think is what it's called, or The Spot.
The Spot Again?
Yeah, it's full of taxidermied trophy heads of various wildlife that people have shot and mounted to the wall. And it turned out to be the Civil War game, so all these people had turned out, and most of them were wearing Ducks gear. A few people were, I think one guy,
in my
one
head,
guy
I
was like the Beavers
like
guy.
It was a Civil War enactment.
Yeah, I was picturing goatees and like weird outfits and shit, yeah. Too. Yeah.
So what happened was we had a beer, and then we left. But it's a great spot.
The Spot Again Tavern,
yeah,
in Malala.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like right there at the center. The only traffic light in town is there.
Why speculate when you can Google?
Well, maybe. Or is it vice versa?
I gotta do something with my time back here.
Lionheart.
That's right. So we made that ride, and it was like 67-some miles or something like that.
Nice.
And then yesterday I went to... I keep wanting to say Verbort, but that's the one in Oregon near Forest Grove. Venersborg.
Yeah, Venersborg.
You gotta say like the Swedish chef.
Venersborg. There you go. Thank you.
You tweeted the shit out of that town.
I know.
I am in Venersborg.
So I put up my traditional shouting at the internet. Whenever I go somewhere and I have a cell signal, I'll post my location.
Right.
Just so people can know I got there, yes.
Yeah.
So I am in Venersborg. And then later on that night.
But you didn't just do that with Venersborg.
No, I put up the pictures that we took while we were there, some beautiful historic buildings that we found. That's up kind of north and east of Vancouver, near the city of Battleground, but in the hills behind.
Hmm.
And high enough on this particular day to have like kind of frost and ice on the roads. So
how
I was
high?
A tad bit. No. Wait, is this a setup for? No.
That was a derailment.
Molala.
Molala, yeah. We'll just get back to that one.
Venersborg.
Venersborg.
So, Venersborg.
How many is there, Borg?
Venersborg. Venersborg is a little.
That joke doesn't work.
No, no.
Just repeat it like five more times. It'll be funny.
So, thank you, Jeff Goldblum. That was an accident, by the way.
Oh, what?
That was just my thumb hovering over Goldblum.
Purpose. That actually worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It did.
Accidental
I could do it again.
So here's the thing is, I was over at Anna's last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things we do is we check in on our friends via the internet.
Oh, so you were watching me when I started to go nuts.
So, yeah, we're like, is something going on? Like, should we call him up?
Is this a Brigadoon situation?
Right, like...
No, so I got excited about Venersborg, you know, and have you ever done this
we
before?
We thought you were just like slowly snapping. It's like, oh, well, maybe he's stuck there. I don't know.
Could be the case. In my mind, I'm still in Venersborg. But no, you search something on Twitter. Like when I did Sober September, I looked up Sober September, and it turns out like I found a bunch of tweets from a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all these people complaining about how much their life sucked. And honestly, life doesn't suck. It's okay. I'm drinking now.
Fine.
It's fine, but you know, it's also fine without. So, I posted the pictures of Venersborg, and then I was like, wait, what else do people say? Like, what else could possibly be on Twitter about Venersborg?
And so you found a hashtag?
I found all these things. No, I made the hashtag.
Oh.
It was all Venersborg all the time. Which is pretty great. So should I read a list of things
Please.
That I saw there?
Please, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And I will say just that it's a cute little town. I would love to go back in the summertime when I'm not worried about being run off the road into an ice patch.
Ah, okay.
I mean, I'm curious.
About Venersborg?
About Venersborg. I mean, just based on your level of... I want to say... the word that's coming to mind is intoxication, but...
Yes.
Fascination.
I was fascinated. I was intoxicated by my experience there.
No, it's not going to work.
Well, the cool thing is there's only like three historic buildings there. The rest are just kind of like farmland and plots and whatnot. But there's a store that's... Yes. Plots of land. 10 acres each. And there was, what is it, an old store, which is now, it's closed and everything. So it's no longer there, but it's kind of the old building. It's classic looking. It's right at the crossroads. And then, let's see, there's also a school building, which is now a community hall. So that's there. And what else? There was a church. So all of these are really historic things. So I searched on Twitter, and it turns out, under the hashtag All Vennersborg All the Time, people can look this up whenever they want to. There was an earthquake there, 10-2015. Also, there were other earthquakes. There are other things that happened.
Wait, 10-20, as in just last month?
Yeah, just last month. There was a little earthquake in the hills east of Vennersborg.
Wow.
So, yeah. Also, there are cute baby deer there because somebody put up...
With spots?
Yeah, yeah. Somebody put up an Instagram video of this cute deer and mother
and
that
so
were in their backyard.
It?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, definitely. With the hashtag, All Vennersborg All the Time. It rains there sometimes. Because some guy here, he was replying to somebody else. He says, it's been raining here in Vennersborg, Washington the past few hours. The air is crisp and clean. The dry golden grass is now wet. Also,
is that a haiku?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he was like, I feel like it might have been Twitter flirting, but I'm not sure. Also, I found that you don't need to keep that antiquated styling that may be bad for you. Popcorn seething removal.
Oh, yeah.
Vennersborg, Washington. that is a thing that is there. Also, by the way.
You mean like a company that will do removal of popcorn seething for you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that stuff that, you know, you might have picked off the ceiling when you were a kid because it was fun.
And tasty.
Well, and some people thought so. Yeah. Including people I know. Also, people run there. There was a guy that did like a map my run thing of his run
right.
in Vennersborg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he like draw something stupid with it or?
No, it was just a line.
Okay.
Which I mean that's simple at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minimalistic.
Yeah, for sure.
Simpler living.
Oh, also there's the Sweethearts Dance, which happens every year.
It's at the community hall?
At the community hall, yeah. Led by a group of old ladies that kind of, oh, thank you.
Death.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Dead fly.
Death.
We are taking these flies down one at a time, I swear. The nice thing about the community center is that the ladies that work there and host events there put on a bake sale, and they kept on raising money over the seasons until they were able to install indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing.
Because for the longest time, the Vennersborg Schoolhouse only had outhouses. I used one when I was there because the community center was locked.
Right.
There was, in fact, no one in Vennersborg when we went there.
Oh, really?
I mean, there were people in trucks and stuff going back and forth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. A lot of them were returning home maybe from going out and having lunch or something. But we did not see another human soul on the ground with us when we were there.
So, wow. Like, it was 90% Brigadoon.
I suppose
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
Well, and it was cold. It's cold as all hell.
Thank God you got across that bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. You can trade seeds there. They had a seed swap a little while back. Sometimes there are car crashes, so look out. Swedish immigrants for the win. There was they were the most adventurous ones, said a Swedish student who visited Vennersborg to trace the path of his countrymen.
Oh.
That was kind of a...
The most
yeah.
adventurous of his countrymen.
Yes. Yeah. They came to Vennersborg, America. Because I think there's a Vennersborg, Sweden somewhere.
Okay.
I haven't looked into that actually yet. That's on my list of things to do.
You do a Vennersborg to Vennersborg tour.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Yeah. When it snows, it really snows. Also, haters gonna hate. Somebody on Twitter said, it really bothers me. I live in Battleground, not Vennersborg. Get it right, Google Maps.
Ooh.
Yeah. So apparently someone living in Vennersborg doesn't like the fact that it's Vennersborg.
I mean, Battleground does have a little more gravitas to it.
Because he lives in Battleground, that's why.
I guess.
Battleground.
And here, it's Snowmouse on Twitter. Says, yeah, that's bullshit. If you don't pass the store on your way home, you aren't Vennersborg.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Damn right, Snowmouse.
At least, yeah. At least we went past the store. If only far enough to go, like, up the block to the community center. Cats go wild over buttermilk. Somebody said made homemade butter up in Vennersborg, brought it home, and the cats are going wild. So it happens.
Wait, they made buttermilk in Vennersborg.
I think they made buttermilk elsewhere
took it home.
Yeah.
To Vennersborg.
Where the cats went wild over it. So that happened. There was a couple who had a romantic weekend. They had like some selfie thing where they like, look at us, we're so cute, and they were in Vennersborg.
Did you and Adele like try to like duplicate that pose?
No, I should have. If only I'd known. I didn't know about this until I got back later, and I wasted.
Adele's
like,
always this summer.
I wasted 40 minutes kind of doing this screen of retweets. I retweeted all of these with the hashtag All Vennersborg All the Time. I will
and
say
Adele
also
was just
She was in the other room, probably unaware.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably for the best. Honestly.
Right, right. There was a, let's see here, it doesn't have the date, but there was a bicycle accident sometime last year. Approximately 100 feet down a ravine at Northeast 219th Street and 202nd Avenue, which is very close to where we were. So be careful if you bike to Ventersburg, because you could go off the road, I Ooh. Guess.
Somebody went 100 feet down a ravine?
Yeah.
Damn.
That's crazy, right?
That's brutal.
Wait, did you see the ravine?
I don't think I was at that ravine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it didn't seem like a good day to explore because of all the, like, it was just enough ice and frost on the ground to make you worry about black ice.
Right.
Not so much that you know you're going to get in trouble, which is more dangerous, I think.
Well, at least you were worried about the ice and not the ravine.
Right. Yeah, we never got close to the ravine.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
there has been pie in the past. They had a pie-making party November 18th of last year.
I have some pie in the fridge.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind?
I don't know, pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
That was at New Seasons.
Seasonally appropriate.
Yeah, so, fuck it. Nice. I might as well have some pumpkin pie.
What's your favorite kind of pie? Like if you had your druthers.
Pecan.
Oh, nice.
Which, you know.
Really?
Yeah, you love a pecan pie.
Man, there was so much pecan pie this Thanksgiving.
No, pecan is something you put under your bed. A pecan is a pie you eat.
Ooh. that's a good distinction and one that I will never forget the distinction.
No. My NOLA family taught me that, so.
All Ventersburg all the time.
All Ventersburg all the time.
I'm sure they got something like that.
Well, they only got the plumbing for the community center last year.
That's right.
you can live sustainably there. There's an eco-village. Seeking enthusiastic singles or
there.
Couples to share farm details here. Ooh. So, yeah. And then somebody...
is that internet flirting too?
Well, you never know.
Couple.
You never know.
Anyway.
Possibly into experimentation.
Yeah.
Open to new experiences.
Crops?
Right. The lady who tweeted about the buttermilk
yeah.
asked me how I found it, and I said, the internet never forgets.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She used the word Ventersburg, and I found it.
Was she, like, creeped out?
I hope not.
Okay.
Didn't seem that way, but you never know. So the last bit I will say is that if you search for Ventersburg on Twitter, there are a couple of porn-related tweets that will come up. So
that is weird as shit.
I know. I don't get it.
Oh, my God.
And is there an industry in Ventersburg?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh.
But I didn't.
It's a quiet enough town, though, right?
You'd never
right
know. Yeah.
Radar.
I mean,
right.
if you got to hide it.
Exactly. That's why the store is closed. So anyways, that was my weekend in Ventersburg. It was super cool. It was very cold out. But it was that, I don't know if you've ever had this, either of you, when you're riding, where you have the perfect amount of clothing on to where you're kind of warm and sweating a little bit, but not overheated and not too chilled.
I was doing that like all last week.
Good, good.
It's, you know, a fleece sweatshirt and a coat. And then, you know, baklava or whatever the...
Balakava?
My favorite dessert.
Balakava, yeah. See, it's a slightly different word.
yes, it is not the dessert, which is also one of my favorites.
Pretty good, actually.
But what if you could just cover your neck and face in dessert?
And like honey and phylo dough. And
exactly.
It would make mid-ride nutrition really easy.
It would, but then you get cold.
Yeah, as you eat. Yeah. It's either eat or... heat.
Right.
Eat or heat, yeah. Anyway, we're getting into the marketing of it. But, yeah, it's you get that sweaty forearms, but the rest of your body is all right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you kind of roll your sleeves up, and that's too cold. You're rolling back down, that's too warm. It's kind of
right.
moving back and forth, yeah.
There's no Goldilocks for this situation.
That never, never.
I've never gotten to a point to where, at least in weather like this,
uh-huh.
where I'm just too hot.
Right. Neither have I.
Yeah,
I think that was kind of the way it worked for me. Yeah.
Well, point of fact is I remove all of my bags on my bike and I switch to a backpack.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that. This is your seasonal change.
Yes, in order to conserve heat.
Because it keeps it on your back and in your yeah.
Yes.
Did
he get it?
I believe it was right fucking there.
Oh no, there it is.
Bastard.
All right. We're going to – I love how this show is – it's about the decimation of vermin.
It's really weird how, like, they just sort of hover and, like, you think you got it and you go to smack. And
right.
It, like,
it's coming. It's coming right for you. Oh, no. It's going
it's
to Brock.
It's coming right towards me.
I lost it. Oh, there it is.
Means if I kill it, it's self-defense.
That's right. Exactly. Fruit Fly, are you a cop? You have to tell me if you're a cop.
This is entrapment. Anywho.
Yeah. So all that to say that we did something like 140 miles in 3 days.
Nice.
The middle day I took off. I rented a truck.
Again?
Yeah.
All right.
A small truck?
No, it was a big truck. U-Haul?
Oh, big truck.
Those are big-ass trucks.
V8s, babe.
No, no.
Do you see that V8, the Subaru Brat that got posted? Somebody sent that to
you? Yes. Krista put that on my Facebook wall, I think, or something. And
Subaru.
It is...
You know, only got 280,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it would fit in Portland really well.
Yeah.
Because it is a Subaru.
Yeah.
That's like a really popular car.
And they don't die.
No. And since it's a Brat, I mean, it would have that that charm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That unique styling.
Like half El Camino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my idea being that I would love to have a utility vehicle, so I didn't have to go out and rent one. But I'm also afraid of owning it because I don't want to become overly dependent on it. So,
and I am moving soon.
That's true.
I would definitely borrow your truck.
Oh, there we go. Excellent. I would rent it to you through one of the peer-to-peer auto sharing networks. No, I'd let you
just
use
to give 10% to some VC company down
there. Right, right. SF,
yeah. Would my Spin Lister credit work?
Sure, sure. Why not? I'll put it on Spin Lister.
Right.
It's under utility bikes.
It's a trike. It's a cargo bike.
Right.
They have pedals.
Yeah. Oh, so I found out that it is possible, though, to do like a bed building project. I built beds for my bedroom. And
like just recently?
Yeah.
How many beds?
Two.
Oh, double bed.
Adele and I are Ricky and Lucy style
in
our bedroom because we sleep better that way. But it basically, you can go on... for any of the major hardware stores that have online ordering, you can order all your supplies. They pull them together for you.
Oh.
And then it turns out you cannot rent a truck from Home Depot.
I thought you could.
You can, but you have to have insurance.
Oh.
And they won't sell you that insurance. So.
And the credit card insurance?
Nope, doesn't cover it.
Bullshit doesn't cover it?
Nope.
So you have to go with a U-Haul.
Yeah, so I had to rent from U-Haul, which, you know, I mean.
Do they deliver?
They do, but it costs a lot. I think it would have cost more than it cost to rent the truck. I spent like $46 after insurance that you can get from U-Haul.
Okay.
I had that option. No. And what is it? U-Haul charges per mile. So I spent about $10 in mileage. So about $46 in all, I think I spent on the U-Haul. And then.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. I think delivery from Home Depot would have been like $100 or more.
Yeah. Oh.
So not really
worth
it.
These are beds that you are building yourself.
Yeah. I put them together myself, which I'm very proud of. I didn't come up with the design. That was a thing on the internet. But they're working.
I keep meaning to do that. Yeah.
Are they loft beds?
No.
Oh.
No, it's a good idea, but no.
Integrated shelving?
Nope.
No.
I mean, does it count that you can put boxes underneath it?
Well, sort of.
That's integrated storage, at least.
Yeah. There's the opportunity
and
for
then,
storage.
Yeah, then you can hang a blanket over the bed so that it obscures the stuff underneath the bed.
A skirt.
That's my most exciting, I think, development is that now I can put stuff under my bed.
I just
doubled my storage capacity by creating space.
And you can flop a little bit more gently.
A little bit more, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, as much as I wanted a truck, I'm still able to do what I want to do given the time and moxie. So.
Yeah. If you ever need a shitty Subaru, I do own a Y2K Subaru. Which,
oh, there we go.
I did the math the other day. I have data on the phone or keep track of gas mileage and also cycle mileage.
Uh-huh.
I've done about 2,000 miles on the car this year and about coming up on 3,200 or so, 3,500 on the bike.
That's pretty good.
So it's great, but it's nice to have that when you need to just move something or go pick up a frame or something.
Right. Yeah, I like that idea. It is still depressingly hard to get a bike using a bike, although you've done it, right?
Yeah.
I rode a frame home from Montgomery Park one time last year. I mean, it was a shitty Miata frame. You just kind of put it over your shoulder. And,
okay.
Okay.
Like, I ended up riding down MLK on rush hour with a frame over my shoulder. Sure, everyone thought I was crazy, but yeah.
That's awesome.
It worked.
That's awesome. You know, that was that chair that we no longer have in here also went down MLK during rush hour.
Oh, right.
And somebody saw us. Somebody saw the chair going down.
Right.
Yeah, I forget.
Tweeted at
Yeah, I forget who that was. That's cool, though.
I mean, MLK at rush hour is great because anytime traffic is stopped,
cool.
You just split the lane and go nuts. And
right. Is that technically legal or is that just fun?
It's not illegal.
Okay. This is what Tim Mooney was talking about, the difference between illegal and not illegal.
Not illegal.
Because they're different.
Yeah. In California is the only state where lane splitting is legal.
Okay.
Which is a good thing.
Accepted.
You know, motorcycles, whatever, it's hot. Mm-hmm. You don't want to wait in traffic.
Somebody
rear ends the guy behind you, you're screwed.
Uh-huh.
So lane splitting is legit.
Right.
Every other state, it's not illegal, but it's not legal either.
Okay, so there's no prohibition about it in Oregon.
Right.
Like, there's no specific law saying
they can't
lane split, but they could get you for, like, say, reckless driving.
But, I mean, if they're not going to give the guy who fucking cut off Alistair's leg reckless driving,
yeah,
then they're not going to give it to some guy who's splitting lanes.
Yeah, it seems like you could do anything in this state.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you're in a car, you're allowed to kill people.
Right, right.
The way it's currently codified, it's not criminal to fuck up.
Right. Have you heard about that with, Freakonomics did an interesting piece about that.
I haven't read that yet, actually.
It was their podcast. They had two different episodes. One was controversial raised controversy, as our friends across the pond would say. But it was the difference between, They down-talked mass transit because they were like, oh, it doesn't actually pan out, which people disputed the math that they use.
Oh, yes.
You remember this one?
I remember this one.
Yeah,
yes.
But then they also said, what's the easiest way?
Yeah, statistic manipulation.
Mm-hmm. They also asked, what's the easiest way to kill somebody and get away with it?
With a car.
Yeah, vehicular homicide. So
I thought it was the brake.
Right, right. So at that point, you have to balance all the questions and say, hey, what do you think?
So what if I murder someone and then, like, drive my car over them?
And then ride the bus.
And then ride the bus, yeah.
There's the guy in New York who ran over a dude and then freaked out and backed up over him.
Oh, my God.
And then drove over him again.
Wow.
And it was still no criminality suspected.
No criminality. But he freaked out, so he was nervous.
Yeah.
So that's why he
was backing out of the driveway or something.
Yikes.
Or whatever. Like, literally ran over the dude three times, and it was still no criminality suspected.
That's pretty fucked up.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's – I get it to some extent of, you know, criminality to bring it to a court-level case and press charges. You need to have intent. There should be something that allows – well, hey, you fucked up pretty badly.
Right.
This is more than just like, I didn't know this person was there. Like,
yeah.
You knew this person was there after the first time you ran them over.
You should have known they were there. Like, sorry isn't going to cut it. Like, I mean, there's that. There's some debt you owe to society at that point.
Sure. There's also the implicit, like, responsibility that comes with operating a motor vehicle.
Oh, no,
like,
but that's a right.
Well, see, that's the problem.
I need to go faster.
Right. It's my God-given right to accelerate.
And on the third day, God invented automobiles.
Right, right.
But anyway, it's – yeah. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, yeah. Well –
Oops! I think we got dark there for a minute, didn't we?
It's true, but I mean, this is kind of how
we.
At least we do. Should we? Is this where we should put our product placement? Let's wait.
You know, when we're done talking about vehicular homicide.
Although I will say that
I get an awful lot of thirst.
That no one at the Beer Mongers has committed vehicular homicide, to the best of our knowledge. Yes. And they're all very good people. But we're going to talk about them again in a little bit.
Wait for it.
I wanted to pay you a compliment. We talked about this last week when I talked about the Sentry. But I was really impressed with how you handled all of our mechanicals on that long ride that we tried.
Yeah, I mean, shit's going to break.
I love that attitude. But, I mean, is that difficult to maintain?
Yeah, I mean, there comes a point where, I mean, after you drove off, like, we ended up at a Plaid on, what, Interstate or something?
And, oh, right.
Spencer was having a kind of recurring slow leak.
Yeah, and I felt bad because I really did have to go home.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten
enough
rest for work.
And it's a dark. We have, like, one set of lights between, like, the six of us left. And,
that's true. Now I feel doubly bad about leaving.
No, it was fine.
Because I had the brightest lights.
Well, you dino stuff, but whatever. It was fine. Like, we ended up at a Plaid, and we're in a bike lane. It's well lit, and we kind of just ended up splitting into three teams. There's Team Downtown, Team Max, and Team Southeast.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just pairs. And so Jeff and I went off one way, two of the other guys went one way, two of the other guys went another way.
It became more self-reliant, self-responsible.
Yeah, I mean, it was, okay, you're working on a mechanical, I have a tube, do you want it? No, all right, fuck it, you're just going to keep pumping up every 10 miles or whatever.
We're going to leave you to this.
Yeah, have fun. Sorry, it's dark, it's cold.
We've done everything we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There comes a point where we're basically back in town, everyone knows where they are.
Sure.
You just keep going, but like, you're out in the middle of nowhere.
You got to take care of each other.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere being the outskirts of campus.
Right. Yeah. It's
right.
Yeah.
But it felt like it.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you're anytime you've ridden for a couple hours to get somewhere, you know, you're out there.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's when you have beer in your saddlebag and just crack one and make dumb jokes and patch tubes.
Wait, did you?
I did not actually have a beer at that point. Right. But
you know where you could have gone beforehand to be supplied for that?
Hey!
There's a place that's a monger of beer called the Beer Mongers.
Our local purveyor of intoxicants.
That's right, over on Southeast Division and 12th. If you happen to be in that neighborhood in Portland, you should stop in. Tell them the Sprocket Podcast sent you and say, hey, I am very happy about all these things. You might be saying to yourself, it's Christmas. I have a lot of things to think about. I've got the Christmas blues because it takes so much to get all the things on my list put together, done, gifts bought, things, whatnot. And you know what? You can kill two birds with one stone.
Get two birds stoned.
That's right. Yes. Drink one stone. Drink two stone. Drink three stone arrogant bastard ales.
Hey, I was wondering where you were going with that. All right.
Go to the Beer Mongers. Get some things for your friends. Get some things for your family. And get something for yourself. Reward yourself for the hard work it takes to be generous.
They do have a giant 3-liter stone. What is it? Double bastard?
Yeah. You know, is it full of beer?
Oh, double bastard now?
Yeah.
Fizzy yellow beer is for wussies. Although I do love fizzy yellow beer. Say what you will, but anywho.
Me too. But what is, don't they have, do they have a big one full of beer?
Yeah, it's
3 liters. Yeah, yeah. Because I know you can also get the 3-liter, just like one you can fill with your own beer.
Oh, for real?
Whatever you want. But if they have one there, that might be exactly what the person on your list needs.
That's right.
Also, does the person on your list like to sit on bar stools? Because if I'm not mistaken, there are still historic beer mongers bar stools for sale. Only $10. You live in town, you go get them. You live out of town, you want a piece of Portland beer history? We'll help you get it.
We'll figure it out.
We'll do what we can. We'll figure it out. So anyways.
What's your truck driver friend?
Oh, Todd the truck driver, of course.
Todd the truck driver, yeah.
He needs a stool.
In the back.
Yeah. Right, right, exactly. Next to the grocery getter, so he can work on it.
Yeah. The mechanic stool.
Right. You know, I've never asked him this, and maybe I shouldn't ask him this, but I do wonder.
on the air.
No, if you're a long-haul trucker and, like, you hang out.
Surly long-haul trucker?
No, a long-haul trucker who drives trucks over land.
He's pretty nice.
Yeah.
He's pretty chill.
I met him the first time I was here. He was hanging right here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, we come full circle. No, but I'm just curious, like, if you live in your truck and you hang out in your truck a lot, does that mean you, like, just crack open a beer in the cab of your truck?
One time in Olympia, I knew a guy, or some weird New England connection, a guy was delivering a moving truck out there, and I helped him unload. And we stopped at a Walmart or wherever to just hang out for the night up in Washington somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I went to get a beer, and he's like, yeah, I can't let you bring that on the truck anywhere.
Oh,
like,
right.
Not into the back, not into the thing. Like, uh-huh. It's just alcohol and the truck
vehicle,
is not
so
a thing.
It's
right.
considered an open container.
That makes sense to me.
It's not him, but it's just he's not going to deal with it. I mean, this is his livelihood. It's his truck. It's,
right.
Yeah, I went and drank in a bush somewhere.
There we go.
Ostensibly. allegedly and metaphorically.
Right, right.
Whatever.
In this fictional story, you were drinking in a bush.
Right.
Outside of Olympia.
Somewhere.
Okay.
In the truck, probably isn't the best idea.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, the more we talked it out, the more it made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why there are bars. Like the Beer Mongers. Are you a long-haul trucker? Do you have a problem finding a place to drink beer legally and safely?
Don't
go
be
to
surly.
The Beer Mongers.
Go to the Beer Mongers.
That's right, yeah. The Beer Mongers. Got the holiday blues? Get some holiday brews.
Speaking of holiday brews.
There you go.
That was fucking great, actually.
Yeah. No, that was Andrew. He came up with that.
Oh, that's right. He did say that.
This whole time I've been racking my brain.
I was trying to remember it.
What was it?
I knew there was something good, but.
Well, it rhymed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like. I don't have a bell on my bike, so I like whistling when I come up behind people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what that's all about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that.
Yeah, I just that's me. Hey, I'm behind you. Don't do anything stupid.
Right.
Or maybe get out of my way.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. It was the first day of the new commute from the new office down in Southwest, coming back, going up to the Silicon Bridge on, what is that, Moody?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
With the brand new cycle track?
Yeah, which is...
The European cycle track?
It's kind of an afterthought to that whole project, but we'll move past that. But like, there's just people walking around like on the wrong side, and I found myself whistling Silver Bells, you know, busy sidewalks, city sidewalks. It's pretty nice. I wasn't on the chorus. It was just busy sidewalk.
Oh,
city
yeah.
Sidewalks.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Perfect.
And, of course, nobody pays attention
right
down there. There's nowhere to buy. The only place you can buy Rainier in Southwest Waterfront.
Rainier Beer?
Rainier Beer, yeah. Or Vitamin R.
Yes.
Is Little Big Burger.
The
only place down there that you can buy shitty beer.
I remember the only place you can buy beer of any kind. I remember looking for beer in South Waterfront. The only place I found was Little Big Burger.
There's a growler station.
There's no bars?
Oh, really?
There's a growler station. There's a wine bar.
That's new.
And these are like new.
Okay.
And I think there was a cart patio that's now like a Christmas tree selling station
or
something.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that too.
That, like, I don't know. I just noticed that on the ride in this morning. But
sure.
It's the only place to buy like shitty canned beer down there is Little Big Burger, which is not exactly
I bet there's
cheap
a bit
and effective.
Of a markup. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's not a drinking environment.
No. Well,
I mean, it depends
Little
on who
Big
you
Burger.
Are. At some point, everything's a drinking environment.
You're not
going to
go buy
18
of them and go like hang out on the waterfront and start
right.
a pallet fire.
Right. They won't help you with that.
Well, I mean, they would, but. If you can afford 18 tall boys at Little Big Burger,
you've got other things to do. You're not looking to make a pallet fire.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Those two, I don't think that's ever been a thing that somebody's tried.
Right, right. Certainly not in Lake Oswego.
Oh, yeah, definitely not in Lake Oswego.
Man, have you ever thought about making a pallet fire in Lake Oswego?
I actually saw a couple beaches.
That would go on the
like
blotter.
Ending a long ride there. And
that would go on the blotter.
I kind of want to throw like a Bike Scum goes to Lake Oswego ride. And, you know, just whatever. Fuck it. Let's go down here. Like there's little shitty docks. There's a park I went by. Like, eh, let's hang dong and get in the lake and see how long until we get kicked out. Like, why not?
Right, exactly.
I think that should be the subtitle of your ride. Let's hang dong and go out by the dock.
No, well, Bike Sim Hangs Dong is I have a map plan for that. That's out to Savvy's. But
it's an actual ride. Well, that's where it's permitted.
Yeah. Well, right, right.
Because it's a nude beach.
Well, but
there's a nude beach on Savvy Island. Not the whole thing.
The Hawthorne Dock is also pretty much a nude beach.
It could be at this point.
If you don't give a shit.
It's dock o'clock.
Dock o'clock. Yeah. And also dong o'clock. And
right, right.
Anyway.
What can you explain to the people what is Bike Scum? I think we may have asked you this before, but just to clarify.
I'm not sure. I don't know if we did.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't.
I don't know, Bike Scum is just a dumb thing we started yelling once. Actually, the original thing, it was like five of us or whatever. We had just crashed a like tech conference at the Moda Center.
Okay.
And we were riding down MLK drunk as shit with like a backpack full of like free like pint glasses and koozies and whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just somebody yelled cycle trash. And nah, fuck that. Bike Scum.
Bike Scum.
And that turns out to be knuckle tattoos.
Nice. Oh, sure. It works out.
Yeah, it works out. You know, it's just nice and easy. And then from there, we did a bike camping trip down to Shampooey where we had no idea what the fuck we were doing. One guy had a long milk crate on the back of his bike and a front basket. I had two milk crates as like panniers on the back of like attached to either side of my rack with zip ties.
Nice. So kind of a do-it-yourself ethic.
Yeah. Well, and just – and then we got there and just – one guy had a trailer that was, canting, so he just couldn't bank any turns the whole way there.
Really?
He left with tread on his back tire, didn't get there with any. And then we just drank beer the whole time and, like, we're, like, in hiker-biker just being shitty and, like, going down and, like, people are fishing and we're just getting naked and drunk and swimming, whatever.
Okay. It might be a good time to point out in this, as we're enjoying these stories, that the Sprocket Podcast officially cannot condone or recommend that anyone... One, hang dong. Two, disturb fishermen. Three, all these things.
This is all hypothetical.
Yeah, well, understand what it is that your local jurisdiction, such as Lake Oswego, permits, and honor those rules. That being said, this all sounds like a lot of fun.
It was. I mean, and we ended up like – we had a guy on a big pink tall bike who showed up and we would go rolling around. Like we were there for 3 days on a Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And we'd go rolling around like people are on the RVs with like their satellite dish set up on the front yard.
Uh-huh.
And just like we're on the complete opposite side of what we're doing.
Right.
Or allegedly doing. I was wondering when I was going to see you guys. Like apparently the whole campsite was talking about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean we were just the worst people there.
Was that because of the hanging of the dong?
I don't know if the dong hanging made it that far, but like every morning we'd wake up and like go like scavenge firewood from like the people who had left.
So have you done this with me, Aaron?
Scavenge firewood?
Yes.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to do.
That people is leave one campsites and you just go buy like half charred logs.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. So this is, here, let me tell you this. If you're out here and you're camping somewhere and you you feel like you need some firewood, but you don't want to pay $5 for an entire bundle of wood that you could very damn well get for free from someone else's fire ring.
Well,
go out and pick up that charred firewood.
Yeah, even so, it's just, it's way less wasteful.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you know what they do with that shit?
They throw it out.
They throw it away. Yeah. It doesn't get burnt. Yeah.
Yeah. So every morning we just go out and spin around. And the milk crates came in great for that. You can throw a couple half-charred logs in, and there's big signs saying, hey, don't go into the woods and do stuff. And
right.
We totally observed those signs.
There you go. There we go.
We did get in trouble for, I think I told the story last time I was here about the building bows and arrows.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not allowed to discharge. discharging a bow and arrow in a state park is prohibited, as we learned.
Right, that's right.
We just built it right there.
Well, yeah. And there's one guy was asleep in a hammock and he got a ticket for it or a warning. But
wait, asleep in a hammock for being in a hammock?
No.
No, for
discharging a bow and arrow.
Discharging a bow and arrow. Okay. Yeah, that was the one like incident we had the whole weekend, which was fucking hilarious,
right,
if we're
no
honest.
Kidding.
But
and it was homemade.
And it was at 4:20.
Yeah,
so,
okay, there you go.
It was the whole thing, like it couldn't have been planned better if we had tried. But at this point I don't know, I do dumb rides and Bike Scum does whatever. Like we met a guy actually on that first ride at the what's the store in Shampooey?
The Shampooey store?
No, the Buttville.
Oh, yeah, the Butteville store. Yeah.
Butteville store, yeah.
Or Buttville, depends on, yeah.
The pronunciation varies from
right.
dialect.
It's a region
dialect.
To region.
Yeah.
And was it Iggy Pop or was it the Stooges that did
Butt Town? That was Iggy Pop.
That's a
when
good,
you're
that's
in
a good
Butt
song.
Town.
Yeah.
Well, Iggy Pop and
down.
The Stooges.
Yes, yeah, right. So what was the Butteville store? You were there and
we were just there like just being shitty and drinking. Yeah, we may have been drinking beer out front. And some guy on a mountain bike rolled up. He was on his way to Eugene and he was talking to us for a while. He's like, yeah, went and got a couple beers, was coming hanging out with us. And then
can you get beer at the Butteville store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Not shitty beer.
Really?
Like, yeah, they, when it's open.
I was unaware.
Yeah, they have actually a pretty good bottle selection there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's the closest thing to Shampooey, so we would go there and have a few and then wait for somebody to bring us an 18 rack or whatever.
Sure.
But this guy was the last thing he said before really he took off is like, oh, yeah, I'm thinking about getting one of those carbon fiber bikes, you know, for day rides.
And what did you tell him?
And then that was when we just got off. So the carbon fiber day rides it became kind of a joke. And so, yeah, okay. Bike summer is let's go camping or let's do a carbon fiber day ride and just not take it too seriously.
There we go.
Get back to the, oh, you're broken? Fuck it. Let's hang out. And
right.
We'll fix your shit and whatever.
Yeah.
Went to Stubbs Stewart at one point last year and I broke a derailleur hanger on the way back into town.
And that's impressive because that's hard to do.
Yeah. That was the second one I had broken in like 6 months.
Right.
It was, I don't know what happened. The derailleur was fucked or whatever. But,
okay.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of looking at it. Crack a beer, light a smoke, and all right, well, shit, I guess I'm riding home in one gear.
There you go.
Yeah. And just chose one and rode the rest of the way, and everyone's like, should we catch the max? Fuck you, I'm riding back in one gear. You can do it,
did
too.
You?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. That's good. That's
It was on the Jameis, actually, that I just got
going. Oh, yeah.
Oh, this one outside?
Yep. That's locked to Brock's Jameis.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's some sweet Jameis love right there.
Yeah, I love C-tube to C-tube, baby. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that we should everyone should go out and have a good time, have fun.
Yeah.
Observe the laws in as much as you don't bother anyone. Don't ruin somebody else's good time.
Well,
but
I
go out and
just
have
say,
a good time.
The Sprocket Podcast cannot condone but won't prohibit you from hanging dogs.
That's true. That's true. Yes. Check your local regulations for details.
Do you know how much a 100,000 Vietnamese dong is worth?
I do not.
About
that's
50,
a currency.
About $50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
$50 bucks will eat 100,000
This is a real
dong.
Like,
yeah, the Vietnamese currency is called dong. There's a lake called Hang Dong Lake.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's a bug right here.
There is. Did you get it?
Oh, come on.
Oh, okay.
Get away. Brock, he's coming at you.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
these,
fuck him, he's
dead. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He'll be dead soon enough. Well, do you have time to hang out with us for Mail and News?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, let's do this.
Now that we've talked about dong hanging.
That's right. What more? What more could you ask for than the news? Yeah, I've been listening to Welcome to Night Vale, and I really wanted to say the weather, but I won't.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike.
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
All right, first up from BikePortland.org.
BikePortland.org?
80% of Portland's top-ranked restaurants have one thing in common. What is it?
They serve food.
Yep, the other 20.
The other 20 don't.
The other 20 are McDonald's.
The other 20 purport to serve food.
Just beer.
They all do not have parking.
Really?
Yes.
You mean their own dedicated parking?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're near streets.
You can park on the street. Yeah. Developers of Portland's future division streets are, quote, going to need to lose some commercial space to parking, unquote, says Andy Ricker of PocPoc. If that were the case, says this article, it'd be a big shift for future players in Portland's nationally famous restaurant scene. Of the 93 Portland restaurants in the Willamette Week's Restaurant Guide of 2015, released this month, 74, PocPoc among them, chose to set up shop in buildings that don't have any car parking at all.
No dedicated lot.
That is correct. Quote, all the best places in Portland don't have parking, and that's part of what makes them great places, unquote. This was from Martin Sismer, who edited Willamette's Week Restaurant Guide. They are in walkable areas where you have lots of nice density that people like. You can walk next door and get a cocktail with their meal, or walk down the street later and get dessert.
I like the tense in that sentence. Let me just point that out, that you can walk down the street next door and get a cocktail with their meal. It sounds like the sort of thing I might do.
Just like you busting tables. And just
this is kind of like, well, yeah, this is kind of like the firewood thing. It's like, you know, they left, you know, 3/4 of a very, very good dish.
Yeah.
Why would I not pick that up, eat it, and then get a cocktail next door?
That's right. I was curious about how those onion rings were.
Yeah. Now you know.
For free.
So this is interesting in that, I mean, there's been a lot of development, especially on Division Street, and there's a number of streets that are getting further developed, and apparently this is becoming a bit of a topic as far as like whether or not we should have dedicated parking.
It's a lightning rod
in lots. Yes.
So I think let me go out and put my opinion out there.
Please.
I think that if we were to say bury our parking garages, say we wanted to put like, you know, stories and stories into the ground around the sewer pipes, where people could put their cars, you know, and it doesn't have an obtrusive effect on the neighborhood around. Say it keeps them off of nearby neighborhood streets where people like to bicycle.
That's intriguing.
But
yeah, but
induced demand.
Sure. You mean like the more of these parking garages I chose to build,
by making it easier.
More highways don't encourage less traffic. It
right.
encourages more drivers.
Like, well, yeah. why wouldn't I get a car? There's all this room, all these parking garages that Brock did us built.
Do you want to take the bus to PocPoc or do you want to drive? Oh, they just built that new parking garage.
Right.
We can totally drive.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the tricky part.
Sure. And the problem being that people who do right now choose to drive to PocPoc.
Fuck up Clinton.
Yes, and I do have a bit of an issue with. I feel like PocPoc may have been one of the first runners. I don't know if I'm going to make some enemies saying this, but I'll just say that they may have been one of the first businesses that decided to draw a lot of people from all over the place, most of whom drive. And you know, I'm not against people who drive cars. Again, I would like a truck, but there are problems with the way that this all goes down because everyone wants to come in and get like the best wings in Portland.
Yeah.
And there's that. There's the three spots in front that are usually Porsches.
Right. So.
Well, and yeah, this is kind of an issue I've had for a while as far as like the shops on Division in general is that the draw isn't the people who are living in that corridor. The draw isn't, you know, of the families that are living in that neighborhood. The draw
is. Let's go to the city.
Yeah, is people like from outside of Portland. And. You know, tourism is great and all.
Sure, but you should park your car in Beaverton and take the MAX in.
Sure, or yeah, even if you are from Beaverton and are wanting to look into the city, like there's just better ways of going about getting to place to place. I mean, and it doesn't have to be the bike. It doesn't even have to be mass transit. But it also doesn't have to be your private car driving around the same three blocks looking for a place to park it.
Right. Here's a clue. They don't show up if you go around the block. It doesn't change.
Unless you're lucky.
Unless you're lucky. But unless somebody else ate somebody else's dinner and then got a cocktail and then drove away.
I mean, I'd love to see, like, yeah, maybe not, but I don't, the congestion pricing kind of model of
metered parking.
You want to drive? Oh yeah, exactly.
Or we don't give it away for free.
Yeah, well, I mean,
preposterous communism, socialism.
No, I must drive my car. Henry Ford came on the seventh day and said, you
know, "That's right."
I mean, some sort of, hey, you want to drive into this inner city? You want to go like 39th to say 28th on the other side?
But yeah.
Draw a big circle. And, oh, you want to come in?
Sure.
Fucking. All right, cool.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's that.
Anyway.
You've heard our grousings. Let's move on.
Let's grumble some more here.
Grumble.
Up next from OregonLive.com, students return to Western Washington University after racial threats close campus. I don't know if you heard about this. So they closed their campus the Tuesday before Thanksgiving due to a lot of racial threats, mostly on this Yik Yak thing that the kids are using.
Right. Which is like Instagram kids. For racism.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, because it's apparent. I don't know how it totally works. And if I'm wrong, please correct me.
It's anonymous Twitter.
It's like Twitter with more anonymity. And when you bring anonymity into the mix,
you can say dumb shit.
Nobody has to account for the stupid ass shit that they say, whether or not they really meant it.
Exactly. So someone says this is fun.
Spoiler
right?
alert, they do mean it.
Yes.
They just
right.
use it as a joke to hide their own racism. Mm-hmm. Anyways, quote, frankly, I'm exhausted. This isn't about if, but when they come after you type of situation. I'm upset that Western let it get to this point, says Lulu Sapi Gao. Adding that students have been saying for a long time that they don't feel safe on campus. Quote, I'm upset that we are told to use the buddy system, and that's the only way that we can maybe have safety. Which,
that's
here's
tricky.
A question I want to throw out there.
Sure.
How many times have you, either you gentlemen, as white men, been in a place where you're like, I need a buddy around me in order to feel safe?
On Acid like, at a Fish Show? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
But no. I mean, sure. I mean, I'm sure that there's times in which you have.
Yeah, seriously,
but
yeah, no.
Throughout the span of your 30-some years and your almost 30-some years,
yeah.
Like, how often has that happened? And
I can only think of one time, and that's when I went to a neighborhood where I was the ethnic minority.
Right.
Yeah. And I suddenly felt like, oh wow, this feels weird. I don't feel like I belong. Maybe it would help if someone was like me that was here.
And here are students who are feeling that
all the time.
All the time.
Right.
And the administration comes back and is like, well, use the buddy system. Have someone with you.
Mm-hmm. It's
not our problem that we created, or at least through our ineptitude, let this environment become so toxic.
It's the Volvo life paint. Thing.
It's totally
where Volvo said, hey, here's some paint that you can paint yourself with so that it makes it easier for cars to see you,
here's
or people in cars.
A single-use aerosol spray can that will make it easier for you to not get hit by cars.
Right. The onus is on you as the vulnerable person to take care of yourself and not get hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is.
If you get hurt, it's your fault.
Right.
Because you weren't seen. Come on, do better.
Definitely. It would be nice if there was a more positive context that we could look at this and say, hey, technology is helping us see the actual state of affairs. But it turns out that context is not positive.
Well, I mean, there are some pretty positive things that are coming out of social networking.
Right.
I mean, the whole reason why Black Lives Matter has brought a lot of this to attention is because of the role that social networking has has played in that.
Yeah.
And I'm even imagining, you know, this probably wouldn't have been in the forefront of the news if it weren't for social networking as well.
Right. It's like the collective voice.
I can easily see this as something that in 5-10 years ago, administration or just news outlets would just kind of sweep under the rug. It's just something, we'll just let it go.
And now it's so much in the public eye that it can't be ignored.
And yeah, and it's not to a point, because I honestly, I have this feeling that it isn't really like, oh, there's so much racism all of a sudden. No, I think like this racism was always here, and now
we can
just,
see it.
We have the mm-hmm. technology. We're pulling back the curtain.
Right.
There's enough people who are willing to pay attention to it that the tabloidization of news media can publish it and find an audience.
Yes. So let's end this with just slight hope.
Let me throw out there. Yes. Number one, the podcast Reply All, which is from Gimlet Media,
yes.
had a really interesting coverage of this and some updated coverage about the Yik Yak thing, because they covered it like a year ago when it was kind of in the forefront of the news, and there's been some developments. They put out an updated version of the story, and it's very, very interesting. So if you don't know much about this and you want to know more, it's a good place to go.
Yeah.
Number two, I feel like I've said this before when we talk about issues of how people's attitudes affect people when they hurt people. And I'm all for a simpler life. I'm all for being able to live without a car. I'm all for downgrading and getting rid of some shit that I don't need. But it's not good for one person if it's not good for everybody.
If it's at the cost and suffering of others.
Well, yes, that, and if it's only privilege that allows me to live simply, I want to be able to share that with people. And it's not, we haven't finished until everyone gets to have a good life by having less. So, yeah, just saying that.
Yeah. So here's what the president of the university has to say. What we saw posted was merely a more public and perhaps a bit more extreme display of what our students of color experience daily. There's nothing funny here. These are forms of violence. It is why people understandably walk our campus in fear.
Right.
So I've taken a little hope from that in that, okay, the president of the university is now,
if nothing else, his PR people are on point.
Yeah.
Like, right. They know what to say.
Super cynical scenario.
Yeah.
Sure.
His PR people understand it.
And that's something.
That's something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's better than what was it, Missouri, the University of Missouri, where
the guy just sat in his car while people were getting fucked up in front?
Eventually called to resign when the football team wouldn't play until he was gone.
It took football.
It did, yeah. Go sports for once.
Hooray football, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, those fucking Broncos, anyway.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway.
All right. Lastly, from Oregon Live again, was the infamous hijacker D.B. Cooper, a Michigan grocery store manager? This author thinks so.
Oh, wow. What if he ended up in Vennersburg, though?
That's right near there, right?
I know, yeah.
He bought a couple plots.
Yeah. Was D.B. Cooper Swedish?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I mean,
okay.
Not according to this guy. Anyways, author Ross Richardson, a sheriff's deputy who also volunteers as a librarian, suggests that D.B. Cooper, the airline hijacker who's never been identified, could be a Michigan grocery store manager who vanished in 1969.
Did he open the store in Vennersburg?
That was 2 years before Cooper made a name for himself by pulling off the Northwest hijacking, the most infamous crime in aviation history.
If you don't know.
So there's that store in Vennersburg, right?
Yeah.
Right?
No, he jumps out of a plane with like, you know, $100,000 in his back or something.
And a parachute.
Yes.
I didn't realize this, but it was like before Thanksgiving that he did this.
Yeah, actually, D.B. Cooper Days is in Ariel, Washington, the kind of north of our area. Yeah.
As a greener, like there was like, D.B. Cooper's cabin is just over in that section. Yeah, the myth goes. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. No, it's the day after Thanksgiving is D.B. Cooper Days up in Ariel, Washington. They have a lookalike contest.
Didn't know that. Yeah, I keep joking that I want to enter that dressed as Sasquatch.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
In his book, Richardson theorized that Dick Lepsy, a grocery store manager and married father of four from Grayling, Michigan. They spelled Grayling wrong.
Oh, no.
Could be Cooper.
Those bastards.
His reasoning? He said the two men resemble each other.
How do we know?
Yeah, how do we know? That's a good point. He also noticed that a black tie and tie clasp left on the plane by Cooper were the same ones as worn by grocery store employees.
But that's when, like, everybody wore a tie,
yeah,
right?
Everyone wore it, like,
I mean,
a clip-on tie.
I don't mean to cast aspersions on this person, but...
You gotta wear a three-piece.
Yes.
Also, FBI agents said Cooper wore loafers, and those were Lepsy's favorite style of shoes.
Lepsy loved loafers.
Hashtag
triple L, LLL,
loquaciously. He wore them with liberty.
Loquaciously loved libertarian loafers.
Hence the penny in there.
And then he would lord it over the rest of them.
Lord it over the Lubbock.
That's right.
Lubboxins?
Could be. He was on his way to Mexico, which could have gone over Lubbock, Texas. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't have the identity of D.B. Cooper, but you know what we do have?
What's that?
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
All right. So first up, some comments from episode 268 from Tim in D.C.
268.
Glad you have someone to get that RAM in the computer. I didn't realize your model was a factory sealed version. It should behave like a shiny new Apple for you now. Happy Thanksgiving.
Excellent. I think he may have written that before he listened to us and David working on getting that. Yeah. Oh,
wait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Also from episode 268 from Scott M. in, is that Santa Cruz?
No, I think he's in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Which could technically extend to Santa Cruz if you wanted it to, but
at this point, it's all
he's closer to the
coast.
Bay.
Okay. Sorry about that, Scott. On the subject of imperial versus metric measurements, 1 meter is longer than 3 feet, 1 yard.
We should have known that, right?
1 meter is 30. You know, here's the thing is I realized this after reading that comment. I was like, no, yes, it is.
Totally is.
It's the kilometer is shorter than a mile.
Right.
A meter is bigger than a yard.
Okay, yeah.
And
anyways,
yeah, the like we said, the aborted century or the attempted century turned out to be a metric century.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Even
that's right.
Yeah,
it's
100 kilometers.
We got 100K in.
Yeah. Perfect.
It's if you want to go far but not that far.
Right.
Just switch to metric. It'll be fine.
I would go anywhere for love, but I won't go there.
No can do.
Last comment from episode 268X from Tim in D.C. again.
Oh, right.
This episode was perfect Friday after Thanksgiving fodder. I have a 1 gigabyte on the way, at least to get you guys up to the 3 gigs for that dyno of a Mac.
Oh, wow.
Good on you for using the older machine.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, that was really nice. Thanks.
How nice of him.
In advance.
So I thought I also had a... I feel like at least one other person said they were going to send us 1 gig of RAM. And then David also said, I have a 1 gig
David
chip.
David mentioned,
so,
like, yeah, I might have a 1 gig... Chip
we are very thankful on this Thanksgiving season for all of the RAM that people are helping us find.
For all the memory there.
We'll make this little old jalopy go as fast as it possibly can.
What, right across America?
RAM across America.
Yeah, RAM
yes.
across America. Right across. Supported bike rides. Yeah.
hey, we got email too.
And one, yeah.
From
one
Chris.
Email from
we got
Chris.
Email.
He sent us a little news clip from the Today Show. Community buys car for a man who biked 14 miles to work. He says, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know how to feel about this.
I feel both ways.
Yeah.
Do you know the story?
No.
It was snowy last Saturday night when Jason Kapoor drove past a man riding a bike on a Michigan highway.
Which you have experience with.
That poor bastard.
No.
Not on highways?
I didn't ride my bike until I came here.
Okay.
I wasn't much of a bike
You took
rider,
a Brompton though. To Michigan, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Was it on a highway?
No.
Okay.
I was in Blissfield.
There's no highways there.
there's barely roads.
Okay.
The man was Tony Berard, 50, who was biking 7 miles from his apartment in Waterford, Michigan, to the Meyer grocery store, which is our version of Fred Meyer, only spelled starkly.
With a J,
yes.
Yeah.
And unionized, by the way.
Okay.
Where he works overnight as a stocker. Kapoor, 20, turned around and asked if he wanted a ride. Quote, I just recently heard about a man who was killed after getting hit by a car on his bike nearby, Kapoor told Today.com. I didn't want to see that same thing happen to Tony.
So I believe it was Kapoor who went on to form a fundraising campaign to get this guy transportation.
Was it a GoFundMe thing?
I believe so, yeah. So here's the two ways I feel about this. Number one, incredibly generous, incredibly awesome, because this guy is 50 years old. These are freezing winters. The guy is biking in conditions
Michigan
where
it's not fun in the winter.
Right, and he's doing it. He's making it. But at 50 years old, with that as your only option, that is tricky.
He's not doing it for chits and giggles.
He's not doing it for fun.
He's doing it because that beats walking.
Right, and this is not necessarily the kind of simpler living that we're aspiring to. I think you know, like the most judicious use of the resources at hand, which is what this guy was doing, but it may have killed him. So,
or at least brought him to an earlier death.
Right, right. Like wearing himself out with all this travel. Because especially as you get older, you lose cartilage, you lose the ability to ride, you lose stamina, you lose health of all kinds. So.
And the infrastructure isn't there.
Right.
Oh, the Michigan infrastructure highways. Is not there.
Yeah.
It's very, very far from what would be safe. Yeah.
So I think it's great that this guy was supported by people in his area who said, hey, we want to help this guy get affordable transportation. They found him a minivan. They found him a bunch of other things that they needed to have a reasonable standard of living. The other way that I feel about this is that the messaging is all poor, because
the messaging is terrible in this article.
Because it says that you know, bicycling might get you killed, and while that is technically true, there are a lot of other things that might get you killed, like driving.
Well, so, statistically.
So I can understand in this situation why it was a really good thing for this guy. I'm super into generosity, super into giving. I think if you see someone who has a need and you can help meet that need, you should do that. I also think that bicycles are a great way to get around. So taking it all in perspective, I can understand why this is a good story. But I am a little troubled by the whole, like, well, he was riding a bike, you know.
Fucking bikes, dude.
Right. So, yeah. And then my last little thing is, like, where's my truck? Who wants to buy me a truck?
I've been riding what you wish for, man.
Every damn day. But, yeah, exactly. Then I have to, yeah. But, honestly, I'd be happy far into the future to continue riding every damn day to work.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's how I feel.
All right.
All right. Well, hey, this has been a good show. We should wrap this up, right?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
All right.
Sounds good. David? What's our theme for this this credit reading?
I was just thinking about this the other night, and then I stopped.
I'm glad you gave it some thought.
I don't know. I had an idea. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay. I think
Both have this man. Austrian
wait,
accents.
Are we both doing Arnold?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, my.
Dueling Arnold?
Dueling Arnold.
Can we do Schwarzenegger Stallone?
Oh, that was the – wait, so what's a Stallone?
Stallone.
Hey, you. Hey, I ain't punching you nothing.
Okay,
I got
right.
What you call it.
Because I can do Stallone.
And then, okay.
You can only do Schwarzenegger if you back off the mic, though.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. All right.
I fucked up. Shit, I started too soon.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text at 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Hurtbutt for headline sound.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny Kay, and Shadowfoot.
Katharina Willemgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson.
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Cameron Lean, Richard Wazensky, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller.
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Kristen Zales.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood.
Alison Wiley, Andy Brunner, David News.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster.
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cule. Peanut Butter John Matt.
Patrick Achang, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole.
Michael Lowe, Richard Adderstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Welder, Anna Christus Kukas.
John Wasserman, Andrew Johnson, and Shelly and Troy.
King of the Vision, Josh Zissen, and Richard G. Now brush your teeth.
And then go to bed and get to the chapel. Let's get to Mars. I'm not you, you are me. I'm the clone, you are the clone.
Got it.
Did you?
That goddamn fly.
Death to flies.
I've been trying to kill that for a month
now. Yeah, it's been hanging out here for a while. There you go.
And that's the problem, is that you can tell, like, it's still alive. which means we are leaving things for that fruit fly
to subsist on.
It's getting
fed. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a fruit fly. It can't, like, subsist on a whole lot.
That's true. It's small.
Yeah.
There's a little pocket of beer around here somewhere, but it's fine.
It's in the carpet. God damn it, I killed that thing.
Double death.
I swear, a bounty on its head. If anyone can kill that thing. Oh.
I don't have evidence on my hands, okay. But it might be dead.
It might just be stunned.
Right there.
Oh, shit.
Oh, there's two.
They're breeding!
Fuck!
Now, whenever you see one, you know there's at least one more.
The other side of N plus one.
Yeah.
It's right here. Dead.
Dead. The one around here I missed. It got lost in my mustache.
What's in Santa's beard?